While the City Sleeps, another exciting drama of the Milkman's adventures. This story is based on the experience of Chet Griffin, a milkman of Chicago, Illinois, the Derry Dan of this drama. At the close of a highly sensational murder trial, Al Kohler, public enemy number 6, has just been found guilty and is being sentenced by Judge Matthews. And I herewith sentence you that on the 13th day of November, between the hours of midnight and dawn, a current of electricity shall be passed through your body until you are dead. And may the Lord have mercy on your soul.
So, you're going to give me the works, Judge. Fixing it so I'll burn. Well, look out!
Silence, silence. How dare you talk to the court in that manner?
Yeah, not at all. I said you'll be sorry, and you will, too. You may burn me on the 13th, but I'll come back. I'll come back, and I'll get you on the 20th. And you, Mr. State's Attorney, you'll be the next one. I'll get you, too. And I won't stop there. You foreman of the jury over there, you're on my list, too. I'll get you all, you cold-blooded butcher.
Take them out. Clear the court.
Come on, everybody. Get going. Get out. Come on. Get out. Get going. Oh, hello, Dan. What are you doing here? How'd you like the show?
Hello, Bill. How's Detective Hope? You been on this Kohler case?
Yeah, they put me on it right from the start. Well, I'm sure glad he's headed for the chair.
But you heard what he said. He'd come back and get the judge and the rest of them. What do you make of that?
Oh, he's crazy, just raving. He goes to the chair just a month from today, November 13th.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I was the judge, I think I'd have made it tomorrow instead. I wouldn't feel safe as long as that fella Kohler is still alive. Well, Bill, I gotta be moving along. See you later.
Goodbye, Dan. Take care of yourself.
One month later.
Hmm. 11 o'clock. Well, about time I was getting home.
Hey, Dan, is that you?
Gee, who's that? Oh, Detective Hope, eh? Gosh, Bill, you startled me. What in the world are you doing here this time of night, wandering around in the front yard of Judge Matthews' house?
Just in case you've forgotten it, this is November 20th. You remember the trial?
Oh, by gosh, that's so. That fella, Al Kohler, he went to the chair last week. On the 13th, didn't he?
Sure, he burned all right. But you know, he threatened to come back and get the judge and the state's attorney and some more of them. Judge is still a little nervous about it, so just to play safe, I'm on duty here, and another of our boys is watching the back of the house.
Well, sounds foolish to me. When a man's dead, he's dead. Well, it may be swell to be a judge, but I'll stick to delivering milk.
Help! Help!
Gosh, you hear that?
It's the judge's housekeeper. Come on, Dan, hurry.
Something terrible has happened.
Here we are, Mrs. Blaine. What's the matter? What is it?
It's the judge, officer, in the library. Come quickly.
Lead the way, Mrs. Blaine. We're right behind you. Come on, Dan. Whatever it is, I want you for a witness.
Gee, I don't like the idea, but if I can help, Bill.
All right, Dan, come on. Now, where do we go, Mrs. Blaine? Shut the door, will you, Dan?
There. In there, officer. In the library. You go in. I can't bear to. The poor judge. I can't look at him again.
Holy smoke, they got him. Drilled right through the forehead. A nice, clean job. Must have killed him instantly.
Yes, sir. I fancy so, sir.
Oh, you do, do you? Who are you?
I'm with her, sir. The butler.
Oh, you are? Well, I'll be wanting to talk to you. Say, what's that piece of paper pinned to the judge's coat? Why, there's something been written on it. Let's see. I told you I would come back. Say, what is this? Somebody's idea of a joke?
Don't you remember, Bill? At the trial, when Judge Matthews sentenced Kohler, he shouted, I'll come back. Remember?
Don't be silly, Dan. Why, George, look here on this paper. There's something else on it. Fingerprints. Boy, they ought to tell us something. Say, Dan, run out the back door and tell Officer Tracy to step to the patrol box and call up for a squad car. Then come back here.
Okay, Bill.
Now, Withers, what do you know about this?
Nothing, sir. This is the way I found the judge, dead in his chair, when I came in at 11 o'clock to serve his whiskey and soda.
Where have you been all evening?
In the kitchen, sir, with Mrs. Blaine, playing cards, sir.
Are there any other servants in the house?
No, sir, just the two of us.
How long have you worked for Judge Matthews?
I've been with him for over 4 years, sir.
And how about Mrs. Blaine? How long has she been here?
I understand she's been here for more than 20 years. But Mrs. Blaine never talks much about herself. So perhaps if you were to talk to her, sir...
Thanks, Withers, I will. Oh, by the way, I left my watch at the office. Have you got the time, Withers?
Yes, sir. It's just 11:15, sir. Is that all, sir?
Hmm? Oh, yes, that's all for now. And, by the way, Withers, you understand, of course, that no one is to leave or enter the house without police permission until the coroner has examined the body.
Yes, sir. Very good, sir.
Hi, Bill. Back again, and here's Officer Tracy.
Good. Now, look, Tracy, I want you to take full charge here. Tell the chief I'm leaving town tonight for a couple of days. I'm going to play a hunch.
Okay, Bill. Anything else?
Yes, when the squad car gets here, station a man at the front door and one at the back. Tell the others to patrol the yard and the alley. Keep a couple of plainclothes men outside on the job day and night. Got it?
Yeah, I got you, Bill. I'll see you later.
So long. Come on, Dan, let's go.
Well, what do you make of this case, Bill?
It's pretty much of a mess. The gun that was used is missing, although Tracy and the boys may find it. That message pinned onto the judge's coat, I told you that I would come back. And then the fingerprints on that paper, the Identification Bureau may clear those up. But I think my hunch is my best bet.
And what is your hunch, Bill?
Didn't you notice when I asked Withers what time he had, there was a picture pasted in the cover of the watch, and it was a picture of Al Kolar.
Good gosh. But what was Withers doing with that?
I just wonder. Now, keep this under your hat, Dan. I'm taking a little trip up north to the little town of Holton. While I'm gone, keep your eyes open. You might see something.
But why are you going to Holton?
Because that happens to be Al Kohler's hometown, and he's supposed to be buried there. Good night, Dan.
Gosh. Good night, Bill.
Mr. Hope, Dr. Landon will see you now. Will you come in?
Thank you. President Landon?
Yes.
I'm Detective William Hope, working out of the state's attorney's office in Chicago. I'm up here on this Al Kolar case, and I thought you might be able to help me.
But I thought you had that case all finished. Kolar was executed and brought up here for burial last week.
Well, when Kolar was sentenced to death, he threatened to come back after he was dead and kill Judge Matthews, who presided at his trial. Last night, a week after Kolar was executed, Judge Matthews was found murdered in his library.
That seems unbelievable. What is it you want to know?
I understand you once had a man on your faculty here at Holton College whose name was also Kolar. Is that right?
Yes. As a matter of fact, he was Al Kolar's father. His name was Jaroslav Kolar, head of our physics department and a fine scientist. His odd theories, however, caused considerable opposition by our board members, and we had to let him go.
What were those odd theories, Dr. Langdon?
Well, his pet idea was that if a man's body were subjected to stronger and stronger currents of electricity, gradually, over a period of time, it would eventually build up so great a resistance that the body would be able to withstand an unbelievable amount of voltage. Experimented on animals, and that aroused a storm of protest, so much so that he had to resign. He left town a broken man.
So Professor Kolar experimented with electricity. As it turned out, so did his son, Al. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Langdon. You've done me a real service. Now I must run along. I've got two or three other people to see before I catch the night train back to Chicago. Thanks again, Dr. Langdon.
You're quite welcome, Mr. Hope, and good luck to you. Goodbye.
Goodbye, sir.
Come in. Oh, it's you, Bill Hope. Well, I'm glad to see you. Sit down.
Thanks, boss. I brought a friend of mine with me. Come here, Dan. I want you to know State's Attorney Barnes. Boss, this is Derry Dan, a milkman friend of mine.
Glad to meet you, Dan.
Same here, Mr. Barnes.
And now, before I begin to talk, I want to ask you something, boss. Did you check those fingerprints on the paper that was pinned on the judge's coat the night he was murdered?
We sure did, and they were Al Kohler's, all right. I can't figure it out.
All right, now I'll talk. I just got back from Holton, which is famous as the home of Holton College and the burial place of Al Kolar.
That's right. I recall Al's brother-in-law claimed his body after the execution and took it back to Holton.
I found out from the president of Holton College that 5 years ago, Al Kolar's father was head of their physics department. He was a nut on electricity. He had a theory that if you gradually gave a guy stronger and stronger shots of electricity, pretty soon he'd be so tough he could take almost any amount.
By George. I see. Old man Kohler gave his son, Al, a series of those electrical treatments. And so, when he went to the chair, he wasn't really killed. Just temporarily shocked. And could be revived later.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But I got hold of the local undertaker, and when I found out that he hadn't embalmed Al, just buried him without ever seeing his face, I was sure that Al was alive and that they'd buried a phony body.
Well, go on, man.
But it wasn't as easy as that. I got a court order, and we went out and exhumed the body. Was Al Kolar all right in the coffin?
Good night. So now what?
Well, I was pretty discouraged and came back to the city this morning. I looked up my friend Dan here just to see if he had by chance run across anything. You see, I couldn't forget those fingerprints of Al Kolar's on that piece of paper. And right there was where Dan comes in. Tell Mr. Barnes about it, Dan.
Well, this morning, about 2 o'clock, I was working my milk route. Judge Matthews' house was one of my stops. I came in the back way, and as I did so, I almost ran into a man who had just come out the back door of the house. He was kind of muttering to himself, and when he suddenly saw me, he let out a yell, turned, and ran back into the house. But as he did that, he dropped 3 sheets of paper he had in his hand.
Yes, yes. Well, what happened then?
Well, I thought he acted kind of funny, so I picked up those pieces of paper, and after I took a look at them, I figured I'd better give them to Bill Hope here.
Did you see who the man was, Dan?
Yes, it was Withers, the butler.
Withers, the butler? But why would he? Have you got those papers of Bill?
Yes, of course, boss. Here they are. Now, if you'll notice, they're identical with the one we found on the old judge's coat. Each one has the same message on it. I told you I would come back. Only up in each corner is written the name of the man for whom it is intended. Here's one with your name on, boss. One for the foreman of the jury, one for the sheriff who executed Al. Pretty complete, eh?
But look, each one of them also has Al Kohler's fingerprints on it.
Sure, those fingerprints couldn't have been secured after Al was dead, so they must have been put on those pieces of paper while he was in jail. Somebody was going to see that it looked as if Al had come back after he was dead to take revenge on his prosecutors.
But why should the judge's butler, this man Withers, take it upon himself to be the avenger?
Don't you see? Because Withers was really Jaroslav Kolar, Al's father, the electricity expert. He hoped to revive his son after he went to the chair. But if that failed, he proposed to take revenge himself. He did on the judge, and I figure you were the next victim, boss.
Good Lord. Say, you better get this old fellow, this Withers, and lock him up. Why, he must be mad.
Take it easy, boss. I've already done that. He's locked in the cell now. Crazy as a loon. So, I guess that about finishes the Al Kolar case.
Thanks to you. And I mustn't forget Dan here, either. But it took the two of you to prove one thing to me.
Yeah, I'm way ahead of you, boss. Once you're dead, you can't really come back.
You have just heard a dramatized version of a true story sent us by Chet Griffin, a milkman of Chicago, Illinois.